Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Be Encouraged, where we are giving tips and practical application for how to train our child in a way that they should go so that when they get older, in the end, they will not depart from the faith. And so we have been giving practical tips and applications to you parents to help encourage you, to strengthen you so that we can raise up our children in a way so that they know God and they follow His ways. And so with that, we have 12 biblical tips for training your kids today. And so the very first biblical tip we have is where we get the slogan for the main verse for this video series that we do. It's to train them or teach them right from wrong. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Start children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn away from them." And so what do we mean by this? We need to teach our kids right from wrong. We need to teach them what is right biblical living, how to live according to God's word, so that they understand what they interpret or how they interpret the way people respond or act in this world doesn't line up with God's word. There needs to be a clear distinction of how people of God act compared to how the world acts. In Timothy, when Paul's writing to Timothy, he says, guess what? In the end times, like, the world's going to be a dark place. There's going to be people who are lovers of self, who are selfish, self-motivated, and it's going to cause bad things to happen in this world. But he tells Timothy, he says, but you continue in the faith. Be the outlier. You don't have to bow to the ways of this world. And one way we can train and teach our kids is to show them what is right and what is wrong. Be honest with them. Don't try to make excuses for the bad things that happen in this world. Identify it for what it is. People do bad things because there's sin and their heart isn't towards God. Now, some people make mistakes and they repent, but when we look at the world, like, we need to have that correct biblical worldview to say that because there's sin in the world, bad things happen. But we don't have to walk according to that way, because we have been given a new heart and we have the Spirit of the living God inside of us. So train your child, teach him what is right and what is wrong. Lead, and we bring this up a lot, and I keep hounding in on this, but we gotta lead by example. We can't be those do as I say and not as I do parents, or we can't tell our kids to do one thing and then we live a certain way, another way. We can't be those type of parents. We can't be those type of leaders. Even if you're just a leader and you're listening, this could be a leadership lessons too. Because believe it or not, all the practical things that we apply to church leadership and good leadership, we should apply to our parenting. Right? We should lead our children this way. And so we need to lead by example. Ephesians 6:4 says this, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." That's easy to do. You can crush a child's spirit by being heavy-handed or being authoritative and or dictative in your parenting. You can do that. You can exasperate them. They can say, "I can't even live up to this man's standard." And then they can just retreat. Hide in their sin, hide what they're doing, not go to you. And that's very sad and very troubling. But he says, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Right? We teach them, we train them, we walk with them, we lead by example, right? If we say something's wrong, then our kids should not expect to see us do that. And that sometimes that takes a lot of personal conviction and reflection and saying, "God, what things do I tell my kids to do that I don't do myself? Make me a good leader. Make me a person who can lead people in integrity and in truth so that they don't look at me and say, that man's just a hypocrite." Because that's terrible. That leads to sorrow for your kids. When they walk away, they say, "Well, my dad preached one message, but he didn't live that way." And there's many people who have gone that way. In fact, even growing up as a child, that was the way my father was. Not my mother, but my father. And that led to a lot of hurt and a lot of harm within our family. Because we saw this man who preached one message, but lived a certain way and lived a different way and treated us not in a good way. And so don't be that. Don't exasperate your children. Don't be authoritative or dictative, but lead them by example in love, just as Jesus, just like Jesus. Say, you can pray this too, as a parent and as a leader. "Jesus, help me to follow you better so that others can follow me to you." That's an honest prayer right there. Encourage obedience, okay? Don't just dictate it, encourage it, right? If you're leading them by example and you're teaching them and you're training them in what is right, encourage obedience. Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Right. And we know just based on the biblical evidence that when we walk in obedience to God's word, it leads to blessing in our lives. It's the same thing with our children. Right. When we encourage them to obey, not because not just because we say so, but because we want to honor God, then it leads to blessing in their lives. In fact, if you go to the Old Testament, it says that you may live long and prosper. Like, it leads to a blessing in their life. And we need to communicate that to our kids, because that brings, that's part of that training, right? That leading them to say, like, we do this for this reason, because we want to honor God. And when we honor God, it's not this ain't the motive, just so you know, it's the outcome. When we honor God, his blessing overflows in our lives. Lead them to Deuteronomy 28, where it talks about the blessing of the Lord and how it overtakes the person who walks in obedience to the word of God. Lead by encourage them to be obedient. So we got teach them right from wrong. Be honest with your children, right? Lead them by example. Don't exasperate them, but walk with them. Encourage obedience, because it does lead to blessing. It leads to blessing in your life. It leads to blessing in their life, right? And provide encouragement. This is a big one. Provide encouragement, where oftentimes we discipline and that's our form of motivation. But what about encouraging? Right, when you think about the gifts of the Spirit, it talks about the gift of prophecy within the church. It's for encouraging, is one of the main reasons. It's encouraging, equipping, and comforting. And so Proverbs 29:17 says, discipline your children, and they will give you peace, and they will bring you the delights of your desires. So and provide encouragement for them along the way, along the journey, right? Be encouraging to them, like, you're doing good. You can, and like I said, it's easy to exasperate a child. It's easy to respond to the negatives, but encourage them. Speak words of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. James says that the tongue has the power of life and death. And it's also, it doesn't just apply when we're talking to strangers. It applies when we're talking to our children. Encourage them. You can raise them in such a way that they will give you peace. That's what it's saying here. Peace. And when you think about the tranquility of the sea, like, that's the peace that comes into our life. Like, we can have that sort of peace in our house when we do this with our kids. And it says that they will bring you the delights you desire, right? The fruit of that Spirit inside and working in them as we encourage them to continue to walk in obedience to the Word of God. As we continue to encourage obedience, as we continue to provide encouragement along the way. Don't just do it once. Continue. And if you do family defos, which I highly recommend, that is the perfect place to encourage them, to provide encouragement, to say, look at what happened in the Word of God. You continue to do that in your life. Because that was a big part of the young Hebrew children when they were in the Bible times, when they were younger, they would be trained in the Word of God and they'd be encouraged in it. So when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel are in the land of Babylon, right? They know the Word of God. They know who God is. They've been trained in a way. They've been encouraged to grow. They've been taught. They were told about obedience, and then they experience the fruit of that as they're in this hostile land, right? And we need to understand that we do that. We're in the world. Our kids are in this world, but they're not of the world, and they can have the same kind of results that the men and women of God had in the Old Testament, who knew the Word of God, who were encouraged in their faith, who had parents who provided encouragement but encouraged obedience, and they knew the promises of God, right? That's a big thing in the Word of God, is His promises. God even tells the nation, remind me of my promises. So we should do that with our children. There's promise that comes along with obedience. God is a good father. And so we should teach them the Word of God. This is humongous, because if they don't know the Word of God, how are they supposed to be trained in it? How are they supposed to obey it? How are they supposed to walk according to its ways? In Deuteronomy 6:6-7, it says, these commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Where? Not just in your head, but in your heart, right? The heart is the seat of emotion. It's the seat of affection. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, right? That's here. We respond with our hearts. Impress them on your children, it says. Impress them on your children. Not beat it into their head, right? That's not what one thing that we do with our kids is we take them along on the spiritual journey with us. When something good happens because we act in an obedience, we tell them that. We teach them to sow into things. And they give things because they know that God is a rewarder of those who sow. If you give generously, you'll be blessed generously. With the measure that which you give, so shall it be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, right? They understand that principle because we told it. We've impressed it on their life, on their heart, okay? And talk about them with your children. When you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, dude, God's really saying it's important that you make this a part of your life with your kids. You make the word of God a part of your life with your children, right? You got, as he's saying, it's so important when you're lying down in bed, remind them of God's promise, remind them of those words, tell them the stories of the Bible and who God is. As you're walking along the road, if you walk your dog with your kids, remind them of God's promises, remind them of his word, remind them of who God is, right? You do those things and you do it, you teach them the word of God. If they don't know the word of God, they're not going to be able to stand. You can take them to church all you want, but if they're not getting this seed sown into their life, then it's not going to produce fruit. Show unconditional love. Right, this is a good one. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, it says, love is patient. Now remember this, when we're talking about our kids and our family, love is patient. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't just blow up. It's patient. It's not, you always make the same mistakes. It's like, we can get through this together. We'll get through this. It's patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. And you want to know the funny thing about 1 Corinthians 13 is Paul's talking about the love within the body of the church. He says, I'll show you a better way. And he says, love, the way of love. And if we can show it to the body, the rest of the church that we attend, then we should definitely be able to show it to our family members. They should be the first ones that experience this kind of love, okay? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not dishonoring to others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. There's a tough one for parents. It keeps no records from wrongs. That's another tough one. But we got to remember that this is the love that we're supposed to show to one another, even our children. We're supposed to display this for them, and it will minister to their hearts. It will encourage them to grow in their faith. They'll say, my dad really loved me, and he walked with me. Think about that with Jesus and the love he had on all the multitudes of people he saw. Even the rich young ruler, it said he looked at him and he loved him, and the man wouldn't even respond to his word right, but he still loved him. We need to have this sort of love, not only just for the church that we attend and the members and the body that we're a part of, but also for our family, for our spouses, for our children. And so this should be we need to show unconditional love. We need to instill wisdom and knowledge, right? Paul says this, not Paul, Solomon says this in Proverbs 1:8-9. It says, listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland of grace to your head and a chain to adorn your neck. He's saying they're very valuable and they teach you lessons so that you won't fall into a pit. We need to instill wisdom, godly wisdom, to our children. The wisdom that comes from how to live in a fallen world, right? That how to have wisdom to know what choices are right and wrong, but and also have knowledge, right? How to have the knowledge of what is right and wrong, and the wisdom to know how to live out. I would say it like that: the knowledge of to know what to do, and the wisdom to do it, right? We need to instill that into our kids, the knowledge of how to function, how to live in this world, how to live godly in this world, and then the wisdom, the godly wisdom, the spiritual wisdom to do it step by step each day, right? We need to instill that in them. We need to promote humility, and we promote it also by being an example of humility, but Philippians 2:3-4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Can you imagine if we do this with our kids, that we value them? They're a gift from God already. The word says that they're a gift from God, but to value them in such a way, not just, we do such a good job of saying these words when we're talking about the church, when we're talking about ministry organizations, right? But what about our families? Value them in humility and do the things, do nothing out of selfish ambition. not looking to our own interest, but to the interest of those around us, right? It's like that love. Love is unconditional. Love is patient. It's kind. It's not self-seeking. And here we're told to do the same among each other. Encourage prayer and faith. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him or acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Right? Encourage them to pray, because God will make a way where there seems to be no way in their life. Encourage them to do that, to walk by faith, right? Trusting in the Lord. Faith and trust are the same, right? When we trust something, we put our hope and our belief in it. And it's the same thing when we have faith in the Lord. We believe he's going to do the things he says he's going to do. Trust and faith. Train them in that way. Be patient, right? Be completely humble, it says in Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. We need to be patient with our kids. They're so small. They're so precious. And we get to steward what God wants to do in their life. And we can't be overbearing, and we can't exasperate, and we can't crush it. Be patient, just as the Lord is patient with you, desiring that none should perish. He's patient with you. Be patient with your kids. And lastly, remember to forgive them and to teach forgiveness. And one way that we can teach forgiveness is if we mess up on like the love thing, and we're not patient, or we're heavy-handed, or we do something wrong, guess what? We can teach them how to forgive by asking for forgiveness. By saying, I really messed up on that, and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? That's one way you can lead by example and teach them about forgiveness. Colossians 3:13 says this, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive how? As the Lord has forgiven you. Love keeps no record of wrongs. As far as the east is from the west, so he has removed our sins from us. And we need to do this with our children. We need to teach them how to forgive, and we need to forgive them. And we need not to keep no record of wrong, but we need to be like the Lord. Now, if you struggle in any of these, may I suggest praying, God, make me more like Jesus. Help me in this area. And if it's something that keeps coming up in your life, know this, that God's bringing conviction because he wants to work on that area. He says, here it is. We've identified it. Now let's work on getting this out of your life. Surrender it. Say, God, I sometimes get so angry. Help me to practice self-control. Right? And you'll see that God will honor that. And then you will be able to teach and train your kids in this way, and they will grow up to be the very reason why we named this ministry the way it is, to be that revival generation that God is calling to walk in this world and be a light and advance the kingdom. Remember, God loves you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life and for your family. Be blessed.